Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is Travis Loop, the host. Many of our discussions on here focus on issues in the United States and other countries, high-income countries, developed countries, and the water issues there. This episode is going to look at a different angle and look at the developing world, at what's happening to help the situation there, and we're going to be highlighting the global water stewardship. So I have two guests on here with me today. I have Matt Stryker and I have Liz Heise. How are you both doing?
Good. Thank you for having us.
We're doing great. Thanks so much for having us on here.
Yeah, so even though you're both involved with global water stewardship, let's just take a quick second because you're water professionals for your full-time day jobs. Matt, what do you do?
I'm the executive director of the Glenbard Wastewater Authority. We're a wastewater treatment facility that serves two villages in the western suburbs of Chicago.
Excellent. And Liz, what about you?
I am a consulting engineer at Trotter & Associates. We are a consulting and surveying firm located in the western suburbs of Chicago, serve mostly Chicago suburbs up all the way up to southern Wisconsin.
So the Global Water Stewardship, it does its work really in Costa Rica. What are the water challenges in Costa Rica?
From my point of view, one of the bigger challenges that GWS, Global Water Stewardship, initially found was getting the government to have some buy-in and help the projects that we are identifying to move forward. Costa Rica, they're very environmentally conscious. They have wastewater treatment facilities, but they're not as advanced as what we have in the U.S. here. Something that helped that was in 2016, Costa Rica passed a wastewater policy, which I compare to the Clean Water Act of 1972 in the U.S. So really, they've got some of the structure in place there. The biggest challenge is educating them and helping them get that started.
Kind of just to go off of that, Costa Rica is a little bit different than a lot of other developing countries in that they have pretty reliable, safe drinking water. They also have what we would technically call improved sanitation. They have a toilet in their house that hooks up to a pipe and it goes away. The issue that they have there that we're trying to address is once it goes away, a lot of the time it either goes into like an under-maintained septic tank where there's not a field that's large enough for the leaching, or it will go just straight in with no treatment into like a river or a stream. They do have a few small treatment facilities, and they actually just built one large treatment facility in San Jose. So the city has treatment, but most of the rural areas don't. A lot of the smaller ones, the people that are operating them maybe don't have the experience or the knowledge to operate them the way that we would typically hear. And that's still few and far between. There's, I think, less than 10 in the entire country.
Wow. So the big issue there is really, one of the big issues is really this, the decentralized aspect and outside of the urban areas and having septic systems that aren't adequate.
Yes, yeah. And even the centralized areas, I think there's only one treatment plant in the entire country that has advanced treatment like we have in the U.S. or activated sludge treatment. So again, their facilities they do have in place for the centralized regions are kind of like what we saw here in the U.S. prior to the Clean Water Act.
So how did the Global Water Stewardship get started? How did this come about? What's the connection to Costa Rica?
Well, I have actually been involved with it since its inception. Basically, what it came about was some of us in the Central States Water Environment Association, our WEFMA, we had always donated to Water for People, which is a great cause and they do great work, but some of us wanted to have a little more hands-on involvement with a charitable organization focused on wastewater. It began mainly with the Central States Executive Director, Mohammed Haq. He had this vision of building advanced wastewater treatment plants in developing regions. And he had some connections in Costa Rica, and Costa Rica had the need for it. So that's why we started off in Costa Rica there. But then also, aside from water for people, we wanted to focus on areas that already had drinking water. That's obviously a huge need for people and an important need. But we wanted to focus on areas that already had the drinking water but lacked the sanitation.
Yeah. When was this? When did it get started?
Oh, I think about 2014, 2015 is when we were just a group within Central States that kind of identified ourselves as this. We didn't even have the name Global Water Stewardship at the time, and that was 2016 that we officially formed the group.
I guess talk to me about the actual work itself. You talk about trying to help with the construction of wastewater treatment plants, and especially in the wake of Costa Rica kind of putting their own Clean Water Act in place. And we know what happened in the United States when the Clean Water Act came in effect in the early 70s, that, you know, we really saw the ramping up of wastewater treatment and so forth. So how do you guys get involved in that process in Costa Rica?
Basically, what we do is we're helping with the design of the systems. We're helping with education of the local people there. So, for example, they have something called an ASADA in a lot of these small rural communities, which is their kind of water authority. And the people that run the ASADAs are typically residents of the community and not fully trained in water, and especially wastewater. One thing that we just did for the first time in August was we held a seminar to help educate the operators there on how to run a wastewater treatment plant and what the difference is there and what they'll need to know really to be successful. Another thing that we do is we work here in Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, where Central States is located, with the universities, and we have a student design competition. So we get the students involved every year, and we pick a different community. So we go down, we survey, we get all the information that we need, and then we have a student design competition for designing a system for this community. So we work with the local, their kind of EPA, which is AYA. We work with them to identify the community that they think has the need. Then we have our student design competition to design a preliminary system for them. And then the winners will go down and present and work with the local people to start getting it implemented.
And then our goals are that once they're implemented and permitted too, we also will assist in startup and continuing to train and educate them to be able to sustain those plants on their own.
I mean, I noticed when I went on the website that you guys have a lot of folks involved from the Central States member association there. And so it looks like you've got a great roster of water professionals, a lot of good expertise kind of involved in this, right?
Yeah.
We've got everyone from Matt's,
Owners to consultants to manufacturers, representatives. So we have kind of all facets of wastewater treatment.
Going and working with the government of another country, do you have any contact with, the U.S. government because of you doing this work? I'm just curious.
Not much involvement with the U.S. government.
We've worked a lot with U.S.-based organizations that are in Costa Rica. So we have a lot of support from, there's different tourism companies that we've worked with that have helped spread the word to the communities there, and also just kind of our feet on the ground in the areas where we're working.
So for you guys, what are some of the more impactful experiences you've had just personally as being part of this? So, what have you seen? How's it been rewarding for you personally?
For me, one of the most impactful experiences I could recall offhand was, I think it was our second trip to Costa Rica, that we were in one of the small communities that we had visited the year prior. we stop for a break to grab a bite to eat, and most of the restaurants, if you want to call them restaurants, or stands down there, family run, kids and parents. And when we came in wearing our GWS shirts and we had magnets on our rental vehicles, the family had remembered us from the year before and were excited to see us back down there. They were excited about the work we wanted to do. They're, you know, concerned about the environment in their area as well. So, you know, they were excited to see us back down. And most importantly, that we were back and continuing our work instead of just coming and saying we're going to do something and then leaving and them never seeing us again. So it was really neat for me to come back a year later and have the kids even remember who we were.
So Liz, what about you?
So one thing that was very impactful for me on one of the trips that we had, actually my first trip down there, we went to visit I think it was a timeshare. So they passed a law a couple of years ago that any new construction needs to have some kind of wastewater treatment. So that's part of what this new initiative that they have, this push for better wastewater treatment. So we went to this timeshare and they had a little package plant there, and the owner showed it to us, and there'd been people living there now for over a year, and they had never turned it on because nobody knew how to use it. Nobody knew how it worked. It was just like, well, we complied with the law. We built this in here. And now it's here and it's not doing anything. So that was kind of an interesting thing to see, and just something that we were able to hands on there, kind of troubleshoot it and try to help them with it, so that at least now this one person was a little bit more educated about how this system worked. That we've done is we go to every year when we go down, we work in within the schools in the communities that we're also doing the design for the systems. So we educate the people there, because a big thing that we want to have is sustainability for our system. So we need to have buy-in from the community, and they need to understand why it's important, because they're going to have to pay a sewer bill. Right now they're just paying a water bill. So one thing that's helpful to us is they are used to paying for something. They do have a water bill. But if it's going to be another $5 or $10 a month to pay for this bill, once they have the system, they have to agree with it. So we go in, we hold meetings in community centers for residents, and we just talk about what we're doing and why. And then we also have gone into schools with everything from like 5-6-year-olds, first graders, up through high school. And we do a presentation about who we are, and then we teach them about wastewater treatment and the impacts that wastewater has. We've done some like fun little activities with them. We did a model wastewater treatment plant. We've done some like, with the littler kids, we teach them about like how germs spread and what can happen from them. And the kids always get super excited. And also then will remember us when we come back the next year. They'll be like, oh, my little sister told me about you. You were in her class last year.
That's awesome.
So it's cool. And hopefully we can get more people there interested in going into like a water profession. So when they get out of high school, they want to go to college and they want to learn about this. And then maybe continue this initiative in their communities.
What are the ways that people out there can help support you guys? You know, that's one of the reasons we're doing this podcast, and we put it out on World Toilet Day, and just trying to call attention to these issues. But so what are some of the ways that people out there could support you, whether they're in the Central States region or wherever they might be located?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, donations. You know, being a charitable organization, all of us are volunteers. You know, so the donations are really what carries this organization. And then also, although we are mostly consistent of Central States members in Global Water Stewardship, anybody's able to join GWS. It's not limited to Central States members. And so, you know, obviously, the more volunteers we have, the more our manpower we have to do things.
There's lots of work that needs to be done between QAQCN design and working with people and putting together presentations for our education seminars, and also just marketing and trying to get our name out there so that we can continue to grow. So if anybody's interested in helping out with anything like that, we're all located all over and we would love more help.
And where can people go to learn more?
Our website would be the main source. You can follow us on Facebook as well. There's routine posts on there. I think we're also on Instagram.
We're on Instagram as, I think it's H2O Stewards, and LinkedIn, Facebook, and then our website is globalwaterstewardship.org.
Thank you guys so much for the time and for talking about your organization. It sounds like really good stuff. And yeah, I look forward to sharing it with everybody.
Great. Thank you again for having us.
Thank you so much.
Words on Water.